About to, yeah, all right. So that's why I added the quantitative piece there. The goals of this presentation were to examine risk factors for the initiation of transition from heroin sniffing to injection among a cohort of 240 Hispanic drug users who eventually became heroin injectors, and also to provide information that guides intervention strategies to prevent heroin sniffers into actually transitioning to injection. This is particularly important in South Florida because in the state of Florida, we don't have any needle exchange programs. So once people transition to injection, we don't have really like the type of programs that they have in some other states such as New York or Washington. So it's, by comparison, a much more difficult situation to intervene on this group. Data collection took place from February 2005 to September 2006. And again, the original sample consisted of 240 Hispanic injectors who were recruited out of the streets of South Florida as part of a study that, in general, was looking at the prevalence of HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C, and associated risk factors among Hispanic injectors. Then, within those, out of those 240 Hispanic injectors, we selected 25 that also underwent ethnographic interviews as well. This is a really brief look at what this sample looks like. And as you can see, we have a 7-to-3 male-to-female ratio. We asked study participants in terms of nationality how they will define themselves. And about, as you can see, 50% of them defined themselves as Puerto Rican, and about 25% American, and the other 25% some other Hispanic nationality. And about 70% of them had at least a high school or GED degree, and the mean age at the interview was around 27 for the non-daily injectors and 31 for the daily injectors. The next sample, the ethnographic sample, was stratified in a manner similar to the original sample. We did the ethnographic interviews towards the end of the study, so then based off what we had as part of the entire sample, we selected 25 participants for the ethnographic interviews. So 20 of them were male, 13 of them were of Puerto Rican origin, 6 American and 6 another Hispanic origin, and 13 of them were daily injectors. As far as eligibility criteria, of course they had to be Hispanic, 18 years old or older, so we didn't have we won't have the issue of obtaining parental consent, which is always a big problem. They had to have been injecting opiates and or cocaine and or amphetamines for at least the last 3 months prior to baseline interview. In reality, most of the people, most of the participants in the study, actually what they inject is mostly heroin. And they had to have used at least weekly for the last 30 days prior to baseline interview. For the next day qualitative sample, we also requested that their transition to injection should have taken place within the last 3 years prior to baseline interview, and that they have to have a history of sniffing prior to transition to injection. So as far as the quantitative analysis, we actually did a factor analysis, and we did the exploratory factor analysis to identify whether there were any like underlying constructs that we call, you're going to see like two slides from now, we were asking them or giving them a list of reasons as to why they initiated injection, and out of those reasons we were trying to identify a set of underlying constructs. So once we did that, then we, with those factors with eigenvalues of 1 or higher to 1, then we did a Barimax orthogonal rotation to see how the different reasons were loading up on the different factors that we had identified. And for the qualitative analysis, we were using NVivo, and we conducted a typical analytical strategy when it comes to qualitative analysis. So we did we were doing the coding and linking and shaping. So we basically were trying to identify behavioral patterns that will shed some light on transition to injection among these study participants. These are the reasons, this is part of the quantitative analysis, and these are the reasons that were listed as part of our questionnaire as to why they had transitioned to injection, And these are the ones that in yellow are the ones that they responded to as being a very important or important reason as to why they injected to injection. So when you when we did the factor analysis on these reasons, what we identified is five clearly defined underlying constructs that represent a desired lifestyle, curiosity, social support, health, and economic as reason as to why they had transitioned to injection. And this is how the different items loaded up on those five factors. So basically, we were, through the factor analysis, were able to identify five underlying constructs, again, desired lifestyle, curiosity, social support, health, and economic. What the qualitative data did for us is that it helped us have a much better understanding of those reasons, those factors that we had identified through the factor analysis. And what we saw is that depending on the type of sniffer that these study participants were prior to becoming injectors, these five different factors play a more significant role. So for instance, among casual sniffers, people who are sniffing on weekends or like special occasions such as a birthday or a party or something like that, were also people that sometimes could go without sniffing for weeks or even months. What we call these casual sniffers, they identify desired lifestyle and curiosity as the main reasons why they have transitioned from sniffing into injection. And that's like a quote that I think reflects the kind of like mindset that they were in when they decided to try to inject heroin for the first time. Those are also quotes from the qualitative analysis just to illustrate the type of reasons that they were giving us as to why they decided that they wanted to try injection for the first time. Then what we saw among regular sniffers is that instead of citing desired lifestyle or curiosity as the reason why they decided to try heroin injection for the first time, actually, for most of the regular sniffers, the economic reason was the underlying one when it came to deciding to use injection. And as you can see, basically what we see here is that people who are developing a tolerance as they continue to use or to engage in heroin sniffing, and eventually heroin sniffing wasn't either providing them with the high that they were seeking, or it wasn't even like addressing the withdrawal syndromes that people start experiencing as they become regular users of any given substance. And again, these are quotes that I think that do a good job in reflecting their mindset in making that decision. As far as the factor social support, we didn't find direct support for that factor. People wouldn't like necessarily tell you, well, I started injecting because I was encouraged by my girlfriend or by my cousin. But what we see throughout the entire qualitative narrative is that something that we already know, which is that the first injection experience doesn't take place when someone is by himself or herself. That there is someone, or at least one person, or many times a group of people who are also part to some extent of that first injection experience. So again, even though they weren't referring to this factor as something or a reason why they transitioned to injection, we can see that this narrative about being part of a group that was trying for the first time or being with someone who wanted to try to inject for the first time, that definitely cuts across the entire ethnographic narrative. And again, this is an example of the type of quotes that we see pointing in that direction. And finally, something that I wanted to bring your attention to is that oftentimes we think of this social support in terms of peer pressure, and what we are realizing is that it's not necessarily peer pressure, though in some instances you really see that at work, but in many instances it's just a matter of either critical mass. You are part of a group in which people, little by little, they all are becoming injectors. So injection actually becomes a normative behavior because everybody is actually engaging in it. And you also reach that point of critical mass when you decide, well, if I'm with a group of four or five people and three or all of them are, or most of them are already injecting, it just appears to be like the natural decision to make, that we reach that point of critical mass and people eventually, if you're familiar with diffusion theory, that's something that you can see at work oftentimes. And then the construct, the factor health, with the ethnographic narrative didn't offer any support for this factor that was identified through the factor analysis. So in conclusion, a good thing that there was a great deal of consistency between the qualitative and quantitative analysis. Needless to say, if that hadn't been the case, I wouldn't be here presenting on both of them at the same time. And three out of the five constructs, desire, lifestyle, curiosity, and economic, that emerged from the factor analysis, we could identify those through the qualitative analysis as well. That there is another construct, social support, that also appears to be part of the participants' narrative in the ethnographic interviews. That among short-term casual sniffers, curiosity and desire, lifestyle, desire to experience the lifestyle, play a key role in their decision to transition from sniffing into injection, whereas among regular sniffers, the main reason that they were bringing up to us was the desire to make better economic decisions in terms of maximizing the money that they had so they could get either a better high or they could address their withdrawal symptoms in a more efficient manner. And the transition from non-injection to injection routes of drug administration remains a very understudied subject. I mean, we place a great deal of emphasis on addressing high-risk injection behaviors among people already injecting, yet we have failed to actually do something about actually trying to prevent people from going from non-injection routes of drug administration to injection ones. And that if we can do a good job identifying the reasons as to why people transition from non-injection to injection routes, we could inform intervention strategies so we can actually do a better job at trying to prevent that occurrence. And again, this is a topic that is vastly understudied and yet is very important. As you can imagine, the ideal point of or the best time to address injection behavior will be we can actually prevent people from transitioning to injection in the first place. So we really need more and better intervention strategies out there that are focusing on this particular topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Sanchez, for that excellent presentation. Next, we're going to bring up Shakira Washington. She is a PhD candidate at the University of Maryland, College Park. When Shakira did this study, she was with CEG, which is a CBO that is based in Washington, D.C., and that was truly a collaborative effort as one of the Round 1 MARI investigators because they did their part in D.C. and they collaborated with one of our California-based CBOs, CalPEP. And so I look forward to hearing from Shakira on this data today.